Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church. Y'all don't want to go no church with me.
Yeah. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. Father God, I set my faith in agreement with your faith. And Lord God, I set my faith in agreement with all those who believe in, on, upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to just thank you this morning for life, health, and strength. And Lord, I want to drive this message home this morning. Help me. Help me. There are so many people confessing you, Jesus, and loving you, but they love religion more. And I'm of the opinion, Lord God, that they don't know the difference. They don't know that there is a difference. So, Lord God, I'm asking you to help us today. In the name of Jesus, help us. Help us. Help us to be able to grab a hold of and keep what you've already given us, what we already have. And bind up that spirit that seems to be encapsulating so many people through delusions and illusions this morning. Because you said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all those things shall be added unto us. Some of us can't appropriate those things.
Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church.
It does. I want to, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something. I guess most of you know who David Wilkerson was, right? Pastor David Wilkerson. Well, in 1974, I think it was. Well, let's see. Yeah, 1974. In 1974, David Wilkerson wrote a book. And the little book only cost $1.50. You all know, you know who David Wilkerson was, right? He wrote a book called The Cross and the Switchblade, led Nicky Cruz to the Lord. He was a country boy. God sent him in the middle of the city, New York City, to be exact. Well, in 1974, David Wilkerson wrote a book called The Vision. The Vision. And I read his book. Number one, because I read The Cross and the Switchblade, and they made a movie out of that, as a matter of fact, how he came there and was threatened by this Mau Mau gang, I think. Yeah, Times Square Church, New York City. Well, periodically, I go back and pick that little book up, because the name of the book was The Vision. I'm sure maybe it's still in print, but this is my point. Every prophecy that David Wilkerson gave to the church in that book, The Vision, has come to pass. Or we live in it right now. And the peculiar thing is, like, David Wilkerson started Teen Challenge. And years and years and years ago, I used to go to Teen Challenge and cast demons out for them, like 3 a.m. Like, whenever somebody came to Teen Challenge, the first thing they did was cast their demons out. And David Wilkerson, Pastor David Wilkerson, I don't mean no disrespect, had trained a lot of people how to cast out demons, believe it or not. And God used Pastor David Wilkerson a lot of ways, a lot. But his legacy, or one of his legacies, is the fact that he had an anointing upon his life to go and get young men that the world had given up on. Jessica, please don't get ahead of me. Don't do that. Because that's not where I'm going with David Wilkerson. Please don't try to read my mind. I will ask y'all not to do that. You know, if God show you where I'm going, let me know. I'll let you take over today. Because I think when you do that, you're not doing it for the right reason. Praise God. If God wants you to talk about Pastor David Wilkerson, I'll let you. Would you like to do that? Take over and talk about Pastor David Wilkerson this morning? Yes or no? And you weren't even a member at his church. Juliet was a member of his church. Juliet taught Sunday school in his church. I don't know if y'all knew that. So periodically, I pick up his book when the Lord tells me to. And so last night, as you know, if people here from Connecticut, what you don't know, it's a hotel. It's a lot of people at the hotel this morning from out of town. And somebody asked me, did I schedule it? I did, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. Meaning, it's people here that I didn't know that just showed up from Maine. It seemed like they're coming in from that East Coast. And they didn't just stop as they were passing by. They came directly here in hopes that I would pray for them. And the interesting thing is, one of the people here is a actor, director, and writer, television writer. And so, as I was thinking about the people that are here, what they're here for, and thinking about, I got to go put my feet down in Texas. This is, God said, I want you to go find that book, The Vision, by David Wilkerson. And I want you to look at chapter 8. So I had to go through a lot of books because I got thousands of books. But I found it because, see, when the Holy Ghost tells you to do something, it's already prepared. You just have to go do it. And in the book, The Vision, by Pastor David Wilkerson, chapter 8, you know what it says? It's your move now. It says it's your move now. And as I looked at it, I said, I think that's the back of the book. Because it is. That's the last chapter in the book. It's the last chapter in the book, The Vision. Now, I don't know how many of you know it, but Pastor David Wilkerson was killed in a head-on collision. I don't know how many years ago, but maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I don't know. Maybe, I don't think it's been 10 years, but it may have been because time is moving so fast here lately. But chapter 8, the title says, it's your move now. Thank you, 9 years. Shakira Ruiz Thomas says it's 9 years. It's your move now. Out of all the prophecies, and I mean, they've come to pass. And they weren't just individual prophecies. These were words given to this pastor for the whole world and the body of Christ. But when I got to chapter 8, it says, it's your move now. And on the very first page, it says, it quotes two scriptures. Job 7:14. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrified me through visions. That's Job 7:14. And the next one was, I have sinned. That's what Job said. Job 7:20. I have sinned. I am a burden to myself. Do you hear that? He quoted Job saying, I have sinned. I am a burden to myself. So I thought, David Wilkerson in this chapter 8, you know what he's talking about? Being honest. He's talking about being honest. He says, he talks about everything he had written. He says, you are not far from God if you have an honest heart. If that is all you can bring to him, he will accept it. He says, you may have no desire to forsake your present way of life. You may even love your sins and habits. You may honestly not be afraid of the future. You may even be partially content the way you are. But if in your moment of honesty, you sense an inner nagging about the future, you must do something about it. If you can honestly say to yourself, I know my life is not what it should be. I know I cannot change myself. So I will ask God to overrule me and help me. Then that is a good starting place. Be absolutely honest. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to quit hiding behind some pet doctrine or theory. It's time to quit excusing yourself through some philosophical escape. It's time to admit that what you know deep in your heart is really true. Something in you is reaching out to God. Something in you cries out for reality, truth, and a solid ground on which to stand. It says, God states in his word, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. This chapter 8 goes on to say, God states in his word, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Pastor David Wilkerson said, Jesus Christ wants you just as you are. But he wants you to come to him with an honest heart. If you're ready to quit being a phony, he is ready to meet your honest heart and change your whole lifestyle. Get off your high horse and humble yourself, and a miracle will happen. By faith, you can be born into the coming kingdom of God. And then he says, here is a pattern of an honest prayer. Why not use it? Make it personal and begin here and now. Here's this prayer. Dear Jesus Christ, in all honesty, I don't know how much I really want to change, but I know I must. I can't do it myself. So I turn to you for a miracle. Hear my heart's cry and look beyond my faults to my need. Forgive and heal me. I confess. I do not live up to your commandments, nor do I truly follow your word, but take me as I am and do what you will with me. I open the door and invite you in. Amen. As I read this, it became one of the most beautiful things that I had read, because for years and years, I used to get Pastor David Wilkerson's newsletter. Even when he left New York and went to his ranch in Texas and said he was retired, turned the church over, went to Texas to retire. You see, God said there was no retirement in this job called ministering this gospel. And every month I used to wait for the newsletter to come, because I knew that it was bringing me something good. And I was a missionary, so I lived by the mail I would get. And every month, on like clockwork, his newsletter would come. I admired him very, very much. And the reason I admired him was because he had a burden to see transformation in the hearts of men. Because way back when Teen Challenge was first started, it was for men and boys. And I saw from California all the way to Key West, Florida, I saw the change that God used Pastor David Wilkerson to bring in the lives and the families that were touched by Teen Challenge. From a man who came from a farm background, somewhere up New Hampshire, somewhere, I can't even remember where. At this point, that's not important. What's important is that, can God use one man or one woman to change this earth? And the answer is yes. Yes, God is just looking for one man or one woman that will be obedient to him and follow his directions. One man or one woman that he can work through. And here, all these years, I have just periodically gone back and watched these prophecies unfold. When way back in the 70s, I didn't have any idea it was the truth or if it was a lie. But I knew one thing. Pastor David Wilkerson knew God, and I know God. And if I agree with Pastor David Wilkerson, I was agreeing with the will and the plan and the purpose of God, and God played it out just like that. And you know what the name of the book is? The Vision. God gave David Wilkerson a vision. But now God is telling me, it's your move. It's your move. Because Pastor David Wilkerson is with him. See, God can speak to you any way you will allow him to. And then if you obey him, he'll get you to where you need to be so that his plan and his purpose will be filled according to his original plan of your destiny. Job said, I have sinned. I am a burden to myself. What about you this morning? Have you become a burden to yourself? Well, if you have, it's only one way to get free of that. And it's like this pastor says, you got to be honest. It amazes me. It amazes me how many people stand up and say they want to be delivered, but they want to hide a little lie over here. They want to keep a little perversion over there. As if God is blind, dumb, deaf, and crazy. And they don't even realize that the person they're handicapping, the person they're hurting, is themselves. It's not the deliverance minister. Because you come to the deliverance minister for help. And deliverance ministers are going to give you only what they get from God to give you, because if they don't get it from God, they don't have it to give it to you anyway. But you have some that will make it up. And all they do is twist you and tangle you deeper in the pit. But you got to ask yourself, and you know why I'm going this way? Because all I want to do was deliver you from spirits that are causing you not to be able to surrender. And then God throw this in. Well, hey, how they gonna surrender being dishonest to themselves? You can't minister that until you deal with this. And right now these are these disses. Disses. I thank God I get an opportunity to minister to every denomination. I had to have a discourse with some people that are here. You know why? Listen to this. They're Seventh-day Adventists. Yeah, right here, right now. I had to explain to them the hold that Ellen G. White has over the Seventh-day Adventist Church and how that hold has them in bondage. The doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist has locked a person in bondage. So before I can get them delivered, I've got to show them the truth of the denomination and the religion they're in. Now, if God hadn't had me study this a long time ago, how could I be utilized by him to set them free? I'm ministering to Seventh-day Adventists. I'm ministering on the telephone at the same time to some Luciferians. And their objective was to overthrow me and try to convert me to Luciferianism. I whipped them with the word of God. Beat them down with the word of God. Do I think they're going to change? Uh-uh, but they gone from here. They ain't going to call me again unless they're ready to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Am I through with the people? No, because the Seventh-day Adventist Church had put so much guilt and so much condemnation. I had to fight through that battle to get to the core of the heart in order to get the Seventh-day Adventists delivered. It's your move now. The vision. It's your move now. But Pastor David Wilkerson is saying here, you got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with God. You gotta be in a posture with God where you're going to be absolutely honest. People come to be delivered and they're not coming to be honest. They're just coming to get a little relief. It don't work like that here. Because I read only what you do for Christ will last. And I'm not going to quit because I know that Jesus can penetrate a sin sick heart, hardened heart. It might take a little longer, but I know that he can do it. God is calling you to something, but you're never going to make it in lies. You're never going to make it lying to yourself. You're never going to make it trying to please somebody to the point you got to live a life of compromise and lies. You know what happens? The devil will kick dirt in your face and make you eat it. Lies are an open door to the devil. That's what I had Brother Joe and Jose interceding for this morning. It's your move now. I'm coming into agreement with the vision that God gave the man of God in the 70s. It's your move now. But you see, even though God is saying, it's your move now, this is what Jesus said about it. And this is what the devil is holding over your head. He's holding John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So now, I'm saying, okay, you told me to read chapter 8, and it talks about honesty. Now, the Lord said, find a children's Bible, a version, and read it out the children's Bible. I love to do this. That's what the children's Bible says. Your father is the devil. You belong to him and want to do what he wants. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was against the truth, for there is no truth in him. He is a liar, and he is like the lies he tells. He is the father of lies. So I said, I better look at this some more. I went to the Living Bible. It says, John chapter 8, verse 44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and a hater of truth. There is not an iota of truth in him. When he lies, it is perfectly normal, for he is the father of liars. I said, I better check this out in the message. This is how the message reads. John chapter 8, 44 through 47. If God were your father, said Jesus, you would love me, for I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why you can't understand it. You're from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, He makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. I arrive on the scene, tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me. Can any one of you convict me of a single misleading word? Talking about Jesus. A single sinful act? But if I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone on God's side listens to God's words. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. I just said, okay. And I went to the Revised Geneva Translation. You know, Geneva Bible 1599. You are of your father, the devil, and you will do the lusts of your father. He has been a murderer from the beginning and did not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, then he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father thereof. I said, okay. Let me try one more. So I went over there and clicked on that Passion translation. And it reads like this. You are the offspring of your father, the devil. And you serve your father very well, passionately carrying out his desires. He's been a murderer right from the start. He never stood with the one who is the true prince, for he's full of nothing but lies. Lying is his native tongue. He is a master of deception and the father of lies. And then there's some footnotes down here. It says, John 8:44, the word for devil in Greek means slanderer, accuser. The Aramaic, and I have a couple of Aramaic Bibles. I think I got about three. And I looked that up because I wanted to know what the Aramaic Bible really said about this. The Aramaic word means adversary. Adversary. And it's taken from a root word that means to ridicule. And then it gives you in its footnote, it says, where, see verse 48, where the Jewish leaders ridicule Jesus' words. And the last footnote says, John 8:44, or when he lies, he's only doing what is natural to him. It's natural for the devil. It's not supposed to be natural for you and me. You see, God knows when you came to him, you had the lying spirit. But he doesn't expect you to continue in that spirit. He expects you to take on his nature and his character and not lie and stop lying. Because I always say, how do you know when a liar is telling the truth? And Satan loves to make us appear to be lying all the time. I know he does it to me. Because God will give me something, he'll bring a distraction, and then it looks like I'm lying to the person. I didn't do whatever I said I was going to do, but I got to deal with this distraction before I can get it done. But the devil tries to make you look like you're a liar all the time. He loves to discredit and devalue us His number one tool is lying. And God tells you, he's a murderer. It murders everything. Lies, murder, and kill. People lose their lives over lies. And liars just keep on lying. Because the Bible says, you're doing what your father does. But my father is not the devil. I have a new father, a new mother. I live in a new kingdom. I'm a new creation. And the one thing I learned about all you Christians, but so-called believers, you sit back and try to destroy each other through accusation because you think it makes you look bigger. You think it makes you look better. But you see, God knows the heart. God judges by the heart. He don't judge by how good you look or how much you can fake it or how big a phony you can be. He's judging you by the reality of what's on the inside of you. When it ain't nobody in the room but you and him. And then you're going to try to fake and be honest. And you know what? God is so merciful and good. He'll take that. And the devil be standing there peeping in and say, the minute I get you out this room with Jesus, I'm going to show you what you really are. That's what he said to God about Job. Take that hedge away from around him and he'll curse you to your face. The problem is, Job was a for real upright man. He wasn't faking like so many of you. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And won't go give a piece of bread to a hungry man, woman, or child. You're a liar. Oh, I love Jesus, but won't go to the home of a person that is sick and dying because you're so scared. Of what? You say you got Jesus in you. You say he's everything to you. Everything but your ability to go help somebody else. You're a liar. You're a liar. It's time to stop lying. You got a dollar. You won't even share 25 cents with somebody that don't have nothing. It's time to stop lying. Well, we got in our family car. And we went down to where the homeless was looking for somebody to feed, and there was nobody there. You're a liar! You could go feed one of your own family members. How can you say you're going to love somebody else and neglect your own biological brothers and sisters? It is time to stop lying. You know what Psalm 116:11 says? In my distress, I said, all people are liars. I got that out the children's Bible. Now, the funny thing is, you and I are called to be kings and priests unto God. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 63:11. But the king will rejoice in his God. All who make promises in his name will praise him, but the mouths of liars will be shut. All men are liars, but you don't have to continue lying. You don't have to continue walking under that banner, under that classification as a liar. and a phony. If all these man's other prophecies came true, and they did, and they are, he says, it's your move now. It's time for you to be honest. These are the words of a dead prophet, a modern 21st century prophet. How do you know a prophet is a real prophet? The words of the prophet come true. That's how you know. That's your only judge. That's your only gauge. You know what the psalmist says again over there in that Psalm 119, verse 86? All of your commands can be trusted. Liars are hurting me. Help me. Liars are hurting me. Help me. I didn't say it. The word of God says it. Psalm 119, 86. And the word of God says this too. Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. I need 12 people to write this in the chat room. And all liars. Can you write that? And all liars. I'll do it. Thank you. And all liars. All liars. Those of you that think you're going to heaven. Those of you that think you're going to be successful on earth. Those of you that think you're going to fulfill your destiny. Stop lying. Stop lying. Because all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars gonna burn. All liars gonna fail. All liars are not gonna have any success in the kingdom of God. The last chapter in a book with fulfilled prophecies. Fulfilled prophecies. Says, and now it's your move. It's your move now. It's your move now to be honest. It's your move now. For you to stop being a burden to yourself by lying. For some of you, it's going to be hard. For some of you, you're going to have to lean on Jesus to stop lying because you're time sharing your body with a lying spirit. You done lied so much, you don't even know what the truth is. It's your move now. It's your move now. I would admonish you in the name of Jesus to go to God and ask him to deliver you from the spirit of lying or that lying spirit so that you don't have to be a burden to your own self anymore. It's your move now. you're not going to be as useful. God will still use a liar, but it'll be limited. Why? How do you know when a liar is ever telling you the truth? And God is not a random God. You know that? God has a plan, definite plans. God has order. And God has purpose. And God is never random. He ain't never running after nothing in the last minute trying to fix it. You see, put this in the chat room. God has eternal intention. God has eternal intention. Even before the foundations of the earth, every specific physical place and things, God. No intention. There's no place that's a mistake with God. No place is unknown with God. He doesn't have to scramble to find a purpose for anything, because God has eternal, not internal, eternal intention. And it was even before the foundations of the earth, brothers and sisters. God has eternal intention for every person that he has created in the womb, including those that have been aborted. No one is a mistake to God. No one is a surprise. And no one is unknown by God. All recorded. It's all being recorded in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Please, you cannot seek and find God's eternal intent for your life through lies. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own things, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. I want you to get this. Jesus never asked you where you were going so that he could follow you. Never. Jesus told you and I to leave what we're doing and follow him. But you see, your father, the devil, crept in there somehow. He don't really creepy walk in boldly, and placed a lie, a stumbling block in front of you. And because you didn't seek God, because your father, the devil, is a liar, somehow, some way, you accepted the devil's lie. Brothers and sisters, when you did that, you became a burden to yourself. It is time for you to seek God again and find out what is his truth for you Forget about trying to seek truth for the world. If you ain't got your own truth, how you gonna seek truth for anything? How has the lies, or what lie has ensnared you, taken you off track of God's eternal intention for you? It's your move now. It's your move now. Time to stop. Break free. Break free from the burden through lies you have made for yourself. Some of you have even made God's word a lie. And this is the big lie. You don't got more power than God. Baloney! These demons are driving me. Baloney! Only way a devil could drive you is you submit yourself to the devil. The only way a devil can overpower you is you surrender your power to the devil. That should have been surrendered to God for increase. You surrendered it to the devil for subtraction. And that's what you got. It's your move now. It's your move now. What you gonna do?
Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church. Y'all don't want to go no church with me.
Yeah. people. Come on, come on, y'all. Come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
There is a name I love.
Patterson, all the way from Chicago. Come on, come on, y'all. Come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.